Hey everyone, this is Deborah Burton, your host for Solutions from Scripture, from the desk of a Christian consultant. Know better so you can do better. Welcome to 21 Quick Lessons on Overcoming Personal Issues from the Encounters of a Christian Consultant. Lesson 20, In the Trench of Turmoil versus the Quiet Place of Godly Peace. Who doesn't want peace in their life instead of turmoil? Turmoil is when our thoughts rotate around confusion, chaos, and conflict. Our emotions are in an uproar. Our reactions to others cause a lot of commotion. Our heart is not at rest. Turmoil is the opposite of having inward peace of mind and heart. Getting stuck in the trenches of turmoil leave us with a sense of instability, insecurity, and uncertainty because we don't know how to pursue godly peace. Godly peace, on the other hand, is having a sense of quiet in our mind because we are careful what we are thinking about. We are not ruled by our own human thoughts. Godly peace is when our emotions are calmed as we rest in the assurance that God is at work for the good of eternity, even when we can't see it or understand it. We are not controlled by our feelings. Godly peace is when our responses to others are based on having an attitude that doesn't react in a negative, hurtful, harmful way. We are not ruled by how we want to react, but instead we control ourselves in how we should respond to pursue peace with others. This is not about perfection, but rather it is about progression as we ask God for His help. What takes away our peace? Well, there are many reasons, but here are just five. First, we are deceived by false teaching, and therefore much confusion and conflict are created in our lives and relationships. 2 Peter 2, verses 1 through 3. But false prophets also arose among the people, just as there will also be false teachers among you, who will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the master who bought them, bringing swift destruction upon themselves. Many will follow their sensuality, and because of them, the way of truth will be maligned, and in their greed, they will exploit you with false words. False words and destruction go together, and thereby no peace is produced because of falsehood. If we want to have peace in our life, we need to know God's absolute truth for all areas of life. Second reason for not having peace is that we don't hold on to Scripture and obey it. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 15. Hold fast the word which I preach to you. Hold fast means to hold on tightly to the word of God every day. We don't let go of it. John 14, verse 15, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. We show God love by keeping all his ways and not cherry picking what we want to do and then throwing the rest away. The third reason for not having peace is we choose to sin. Hebrews 10, verse 1, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. When we walk in rebellion and choose to willfully sin against God by doing what we want, then we will be weighed down with guilt, fear, anxiety, and all kinds of unwanted emotions and consequences. God's peace will not be with us when we do not surrender to His ways. This does not mean we don't ever make mistakes. It simply means we try to run with endurance the path of doing what is right in the eyes of God. The fourth reason for not having peace is we don't give our burdens to God. Psalm 55, verse 22, cast your burden upon the Lord and He will sustain you. He will never allow the righteous to be shaken. We will not be able to weather the storms of life if we try to deal with our hardships our own way. We will be disturbed and distressed in the deep trenches where there is no peace. This is why God tells us to give all hardships, confusion, conflicts, turmoils to Him. This means we trust Him for the eventual good and rely on Him to get us through each and every situation. Give it to God. Let go of going down a path without God. The fifth reason for not having peace is we look to the world to give us peace instead of Jesus. John 14, verse 27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives, do I give to you. In context of this verse, Jesus is talking about His upcoming painful execution on a cruel cross. But also Jesus is talking about the persecution Christians will face because of their faith, even death. So how could the disciples possibly think they would experience peace? Well, the type of peace that Christ offered to them and to us refers to a faith in God's power, wisdom, and faithfulness in all situations for the good of the eternal. On the other hand, the world offers help in things such as self-help books, New Age techniques, mind-altering drugs, and etc. That might work for a while, but because there is not a heart change brought about by the transforming work of God's Word, the world's ways will not last. Jesus encourages us to rely on the peace He offers as we keep note that the key word is keep our minds on Him. On the other hand, when our minds keep thinking human, worldly answers to our problems, then we won't have the deep, reassuring, lasting peace that Christ gives. Psalm 1, verses 1 through 3. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. And in whatever he does, he prospers. In this passage of Scripture, we see that we will not be blessed when we participate in beliefs that are against God. This will not give us peace. Notice that the wise person instead keeps his mind on God's ways by meditating on his word. So there we go again with the word keep or meditate or night and day, which means continually thinking God's thoughts. Then we will be firmly planted, which means we are not so deeply disturbed by the happenings in our life, the life of others, or the world, that we get stuck in the trenches. If we are stuck in the trenches of useless thoughts, then we are not firmly planted in God's word. The whole concept here is keeping our minds on God's ways and walking in them so we will produce a lasting, eternal, godly fruit in the season God wants it harvested. We don't wither when the storms come because our mind knows God and is in the midst. We know He is in the midst of the storm doing His work. And in whatever we do, we will eventually prosper in it because God's ways always work eventually. Let's summarize godly peace. God's peace is an inner, continual confidence, knowing we are in His care constantly, no matter what is going on in our life. He is sovereign, all-wise, all-powerful, all-loving. God's peace is based on truth found in His Word that never changes with circumstances or culture. The peace that comes from God is founded in faith, trust, and reliance on who God is, and believing everything will eventually work for good. So why do I fuss about what is going on instead of having faith, even when I don't see the good? Faith is believing the good God I serve has the power to make anything eventually work together for good, in His timing and in His ways for His eternal purposes. The balance in this is that even Jesus was said to have a troubled spirit at times. Jesus acknowledges the reality of suffering and hardships in our lifetime, but along with that, He wants to give us a supernatural godly peace as we trust and rely on Him to get us through anything we encounter. We do our best to know God's Word. When we go through hardships, we look specifically for scriptures that help us get us through that. And then we try throughout our days to continually think about God. It doesn't mean that we don't ever think about anything else. It just means instead of allowing negative, useless thoughts to overcome us, we instead choose to think about God's Word. Let's do PAT, practical application time. 4 tools to pursue peace. First tool, rethink biblically. Second tool, get out of the trenches. Third tool, the do's and don'ts. Fourth tool, know God. The first tool, rethink biblically. To rethink means to change our thoughts, to do a complete turnaround in the way we think, to reorganize our brain so we can think biblically. It means to assess what we should not think about because it's useless. Rather, we need to put into perspective what we should think about so our thinking patterns are useful. Every day we need to remember our thoughts have outcomes. Our thoughts matter. They direct all other areas of our life. If our minds are stayed on our trials and troubles, if we stay stuck in recycling hard situations and people we can't change, if we waste our time allowing our mind to rely on our own understanding, then we will not have godly peace. Let's look at this verse and see how God told us to rethink biblically. Isaiah 26, verses 3 through 4. The steadfast of mind you will keep in perfect peace because He trusts in you. Steadfast of mind means to be committed, dedicated, faithful, and decisive in directing our minds to God's wisdom, God's ways, and the true meaning in the passages of God's Word. And then walking in that, living our lives in accordance to that. That's what gives perfect peace. Our thoughts are trusting in His Word. So our thoughts, what we focus on in our mind is what will either take away godly peace or give it to us. Not Being steadfast of mind means being wavering and uncommitted in putting God first in our thoughts. We waste time and effort trusting in our own ability to figure out life, to find our own solutions, to try to understand the whys or why nots of God's sovereign ways. We can go to those dark places when our thoughts recycle the negative and useless, and then the trenches in our mind get deeper and deeper. There is no peace in those places. In this verse, Isaiah is saying that perfect peace is possible. The Lord provides this to those whose minds are focused on the Lord. To trust means to have confidence in God's ultimate wisdom, even when life seems unfair and things don't make sense or we don't like what God is allowing. To trust means to depend on God to get us through the darkest of times. Now, perfect peace does not mean we have a perfect life without problems. It does not mean nothing disturbs or hurts us. It doesn't mean we won't struggle with certain thoughts or emotions, but it does mean we take all of that to searching the scriptures for solutions that will give us godly peace in the midst of all this. Paul describes what it means to keep our minds stayed on God so we can have godly peace. He's very specific about how we should think. We can't think biblically if we are thinking negative, useless thoughts. Philippians 4, verses 8 through 9. Finally, brother, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence, and if anything is worthy of praise, dwell on these things. The things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. So Paul tells us we need to practice thinking this way because it doesn't come naturally to us. To live in perfect peace is available to every Christian, but it can be a hard-fought battle of the mind in the midst of hard times. So we go back to the key word to win the battle, which is keep. Keep our minds on God. Be committed. Be persistent. Be dedicated to the devotion of continually recycling our thoughts around God's word. This is rethinking biblically. This is retraining our brain to base our thoughts on God's word. What are His answers, His solutions, His thoughts? That is pursuing godly peace. Second tool, get out of the trenches. Trenches are described as deep paths that point us toward continued turmoil, chaos, conflict, and confusion. One of the biggest things that steals away our peace is people. This is why God tells us, if it is at all possible, try your best to be as peaceable as you can with people in your words, actions, attitudes, and responses. We can't control people. We are not responsible for other people's choices or their responses to us. But what we are responsible for is having a peaceable attitude. Romans 12, verse 18, if possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Proverbs 20, verse 3, it is an honor for a man to keep aloof from strife, but every fool will be quarreling. We are responsible for ourselves, but nonetheless, we can't have peace with everyone. That's why God says, if possible. He didn't say it is always possible. Different beliefs, different ways of living life, the way people talk and act. There are so very many ways in which people can steal our peace away. Our job is to be as peaceable as possible, to be respectful and thoughtful. But when others refuse to pursue peace on their end of the stick, we can't continually recycle how they have bothered us. Then our mind is not staying on God. Instead, we are keeping our minds on how we would like to give that rude person a piece of our mind. Of course, if we need to deal with certain circumstances and people at times when trying to resolve a conflict, it's not always going to be a peaceable situation, nor does it always end on a peaceable note. All we can do is try to be peaceful toward them, but the if possible tells us we won't always be at peace with everyone. Both parties need to pursue it. Unfortunately, many times it is our own family members, friends, ministry workers, etc., that can cause the most turmoil in our lives. God does not require us to be close to everyone, including those in our own families that continually stir up the pot and have no desire to have peace. We are to pursue peace with these types of people by having a non-confrontational attitude. We are to be gracious and kind, respectful, but we don't have to be continually around them. It would not be pursuing peace if we persisted in having a close relationship with people who don't want to solve issues. We are to pursue peace, not pursue continual conflict that steals away godly peace. The third tool, the do's and don'ts, Philippians 4, verses 4 through 7. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. The key to knowing how to pursue peace is to know what to do and what not to do. Let's specifically look at these verses in Scripture that I just read. Do rejoice in the Lord always to have peace. Do have a gentle spirit to have peace. Do not be anxious in order to have peace. Do pray, because this gives you peace. Why do we rejoice in the Lord always? Because peace comes from rejoicing in God. We take the focus off me and concentrate on the goodness of God. We rejoice in the good God has already done. We rejoice in the good He is doing right now. And we continue to rejoice in what God will do in the future, whether we see it or not. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7, we walk by faith and not by sight. Romans 8, 28, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. Why do we need to have a gentle spirit? Peace comes from treating others the right way. We take the focus off me and concentrate on valuing others simply because God does. Having a gentle spirit means we are not contentious or easily offended. We are not snippy, snarly, snarky, sarcastic, crabby, and crusty. Why? Because a gentle spirit produces peace not only in our own life, but in the lives of others. Philippians 2, verse 4, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Why should we not be anxious? Peace comes when our emotions don't rule over us. We take the focus off the way we feel and instead find biblical solutions to the reasons we feel certain ways. Reoccurring negative thoughts draw us in different directions and distractions that keep us off a path of peace. Eventually, we end up in the trenches of useless thoughts that keep leading us down the path of wrong words, wrong actions, wrong attitudes, and wrong behavior. The key is to give our concerns to God whenever anxious thoughts creep into our mind right away. Don't toy with anxious thoughts any more than you would an angry, hissing, poisonous snake. Wrong thoughts poison our minds. Proverbs 3, verses 5 through 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to him, and he will make your paths straight. Why should we pray about everything? Because prayer is one of the most powerful ways we pursue peace. Prayer puts us on the path of talking to God about everything we are thinking, everything we are experiencing, all of our doubts and worries, our sadness and our madness. All our thoughts and emotions are given to God because he told us to pray about all these things. Prayer is when we lay it all at his feet as we honor him with our trust in him. Romans 12, verse 12, rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer. Matthew 6, verse 9, pray then like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So when we pray and pour out our hearts to God, we are asking that his will would be done in anything we are praying about. This is how we trust God in all our situations. We are not asking for our will to be done, but his will to be done, because he always knows what is best. How to pray. It says in this passage of scripture, do pray about everything. Do pray about your specific needs. Give the details. Do pray with thanksgiving. Psalm 107, verse 1. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. James 5, verse 16. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Then, when we do these verses the way God is described, then the peace of God will guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. This means when we keep our minds fixed on God, then God will guard us from getting stuck in the trenches of turmoil where there is no peace. Fourth tool, know God. Knowing the names of God and their meanings puts confidence in God and thereby gives us peace. To experience God's peace, we need to know God. We must know his character. In those times when we experience confusion and conflict, trials and hardships, when life doesn't seem fair, when people and environment make no sense, and we become overwhelmed, we need to remember the names of God. When we know the names of God, then we realize God is constantly taking care of all that goes on in our life because of who he is. And we don't just remember the names of God in the hard times, but also the good times, so we can praise him. Let's look at just a few of the names of God that describe his character. El Rohi. He is the one true God who sees all. He sees all that goes on in the world and all that goes on in our individual life. Nothing goes unseen by him. He is aware of it all and takes care of it all, the good and the evil, in his timing and in his way. El Shaddai, he is the God Almighty. His power and wisdom are immense, supreme, and so massive that we as humans cannot understand the greatness of it. God has ultimate power over all because he is the Almighty. Yahweh Sabaoth, he is the Lord of hosts, which expresses his majesty, power, and authority, and thus shows he can accomplish what he determines to do. Nothing hinders the ultimate will and purposes of God. Yahweh, God is present, accessible, near to those who call on him for deliverance, forgiveness, and guidance. Let's recap the four tools to pursue peace. First tool, rethink biblically. Second tool, get out of the trenches. Third tool, the do's and don'ts. Fourth tool, know God. Let's end with these verses. John 16, verse 33, Jesus said, I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. Psalm 61, verses 1 through 3, hear my cry, O God, listen to my prayer from the end of the earth. I call to you when my heart is faint. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I, for you have been my refuge, a strong tower against the enemy. I hope you will share these podcasts with people you know so we all can pursue peace by keeping our minds on Christ Jesus. Thanks so much for listening. Together, we're learning the difficult topics and the encouraging ones. It's all about God's Word. Know it, live it, and share it. Isaiah 40, verse 8, the grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God endures forever.